this Holy Ghost. In Christianity, a few people know about the Father, and then quite a few more know about Jesus, some of his teachings, and they try to follow Jesus. But the Holy Spirit is kind of I just don't know much about the Holy Spirit. But it's much easier to understand the Holy Spirit if you understand that, first of all, God is a spirit, and Jesus is the fleshly manifestation of the only God, and he sent his spirit, God sent his spirit, the Holy Spirit, back to live in us. So it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. To me, it's a lot easier to understand the baptism of the Holy Spirit that I'm not getting a third individual or something of the sort, but I am getting the God Almighty to come and live inside of me. And like, what's wrong with that? You know, it's taken me a long time, but I've had to come to terms with my frailty and everything. I had an immaculate conception at birth. I mean, I was born of the Spirit and born at birth, and you know, first, second row with my parents, front row, and from there I moved up here to the stage as just a young person. And so I knew nothing of the world and the things of the world, but I got a little older and I found out about a few things, and found out that, boy, even though I was raised in the church, I needed something outside of me to help me make it. I mean, there was beatings at home if I didn't have the Holy Ghost, and then life would just take its toll on you, you know, when you make wrong decisions and sin and transgress God's perfect way and all of that. So some of us have come to terms or come to the realization of our frailty. But the Holy Spirit, first of all, it is we're commanded to receive the Spirit. We're commanded to receive the Spirit. You know, but that being said, why would something have to be a command that would so change us and so empower us, right? This morning, 8 o'clock, my phone rang. It rings twice. It's an 89-year-old widower, friend of mine. Go by and have coffee with him. But, 50 years ago or so, he was an armed robber. And not only that, but shot a man. And he was driving in from his small community into Houston to rob liquor stores. That was his target. And he'd go in and snatch the money and take off and get back home. And they didn't find him until the time that he shot the man. The liquor store owner had his piece under the bar, and he was reaching for it. And Don said, "Don't." And the guy kept, and he shot him. Fortunately, he lived. After a short term in prison, was granted a full pardon. And very shortly thereafter, he spied a young lady in our home church, and he wanted to know her better, and they eventually married. But he came to a place of meeting with God at the church, and the power of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, filled Don and washed out everything that was of the criminal way, took out of him the desire for that he had done, that he had experienced, that he had practiced. And today, you don't talk about people very much before there are tears in his eyes. And all of these years, he has been faithful and devoted to the service of the Lord. And the reason he calls me every morning to let me know he's alive and well, and I get that little phone call. We don't talk. We do have coffee periodically. But my point is that the Holy Spirit has come into Don's heart and radically changed him. It is not turning over a new leaf. It is a recreation of the human spirit. One of my mentors had his own criminal enterprise up in northern Indiana. He introduced cocaine, heroin up in that area. And he was also a pimp. He had prostitutes working for him. He was an amazing thief. People that knew him talked about his he could bypass alarms and things like that. But one day, not only that, but he had tracks of heroin from the needles that had messed up the veins in the folds of his arms. And so at some point in time, he realized, I'm a mess. I need God. I need more than just shaking a preacher's hand. I need more than just a confession that Jesus is Lord. I need something radical to help me. I need a change in my life. Thank God that that same Holy Spirit is available right here today at New Life. And I might add, it's for whosoever will. Let them come and drink. Let them come and be changed. My friend, again, Donald Thomas by name, he came and he was changed. He said that when I came up out of the waters of baptism, I, some reason, looked at my arms, and the miracle was that every one of those tracks was gone in an instant in the waters of baptism. Not only that, but the infilling of the Holy Spirit into his life with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, he became a mighty spokesman for the name of Jesus. In Little Rock, Arkansas alone, in 4 years, there were over 1,600 baptisms and people's lives were changed. I was privileged to be a part of that, to sit under that influence. Not only my first pastor, my childhood pastor, the church was given to prayer because he was given to prayer. And there was such a welcoming of the Holy Spirit. There was such a hunger for the manifestation of the Spirit of God. Listen, as Pastor said, if we are not manifesting Jesus, we must measure by the Word of God and see whether or not we really are Christians, because Christians are manifestors. Christians are to show forth his love. We are to show forth his purity. We are to show forth his power. We are to exemplify him in every way possible. It doesn't happen just because. It happens on purpose. I come to him and I say, change me. Do a work in me. And he is all ready to do that. But anyway, in our home church, a man, his wife sitting right behind us, he had not come to recognize the call of the Lord on his life, to come to salvation. And one day he had a shallow ditch and he pulled his car across it and crawled under it, was doing some work, and the car was not blocked and rolled across his chest and crushed him. He was taken to the hospital and the doctor pronounced him dead. The only change for that situation is that my pastor was standing at the man's head praying a one-word prayer. Can you guess what it was? He was saying, no! Who was he saying that to? He was saying that to death. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. And that more abundantly. It's not just a little peace. It's not just a little joy. It is supposed to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. The Holy Spirit is likened to wine, to new wine. It is to come in. It is to change us. It is to radically move everything. Those that were angry and warring become peaceful and loving. And those that were just, you know, kind of phlegmatic, he makes them become a little more aggressive and step out and step forth. Jesus is the answer for the world today. As our pastor prayed that one word prayer, all of a sudden, that man's eyes popped open. He sat up on the side of that bed, whatever, in the emergency room. The doctor said, wait a minute, Mr. Wells, you're dead. And he said, no, I'm not. And he said, but you're injured, you're crushed. Your ribs and all are broken. Your vital organs are seriously injured. And he said, there's nothing wrong with me, and began to thump himself on the chest, got up from there and went home. You a few things like that, and it takes people to say, wow, I want to see something like that. I want to be a part of that. Here's the thing. It is not relegated to just a few spiritual people. It is open to anyone that will come to him and say, take me, Lord. Use me. Change my life and let me be an agent of change for others. in the pastor's church in Little Rock, I knew of a one lady in that church. She was a school teacher. And she said, I have to take a leave of absence. And she said, I have got to go down to Houston. I have unsafe family. She flew to Houston. She witnessed. She fasted. She prayed. Why is that? Focusing on the Holy Spirit. Working, stirring up the gifts, stirring up the Spirit of God. He'd take hold. When she left there, her family was baptized and filled with the Spirit. She went from there to Los Angeles. And it was not in any uncertain terms. She spoke directly to them. This is what you've got to have. You've got to be tired of the way that you have been living and welcome this baptism, this freedom, this change. Who wouldn't want Jesus to come and live on the inside of them? When she left Los Angeles, her family, or the most of them, were Bible-believing disciples of Jesus Christ, baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of thing that you can affect people with, is you can come out and say, look, here's what I once was, but today something changed in my life. On this day, the 20th of January, 2019, my brand new year started. My brand new life started. I'm not the person that I used to be. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I've seen men and women that were drug addicts that would come and stumbling and slurred speech and all of that. And if you had seen them just a few weeks after they had welcomed Jesus into their heart, you wouldn't have known them. You would have thought they were accountants or bankers or lawyers or something because of the radical change that Jesus brought to their life. This morning, I don't know, 4:30 or so, I began to awaken, and in that time frame, between that time frame that you're wondering if you're still asleep or if you're awake, in that place there, I heard myself begin to move into two of the gifts of the Spirit, which is one is in tongues and the other is interpretation of tongues. And I heard myself speaking in other tongues. And as I was speaking in other tongues, I was speaking to a congregation, and I was hitting. The Spirit of God was moving through me, and the tongue was a staccato, very harsh, not harsh, but a strong tone that was coming out. Doing this. And then the interpretation came. And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, was saying, I thought to that congregation, but then I realized he was speaking to me as well. It is time for you to take up and enrobe yourself with the garments of righteousness. It is time for you to seize upon what happened at Pentecost and let that become a renewal in your life and begin to pursue it and begin to take it. And I said, yes, Lord, yes, that is what we've got to do. It stemmed out of when I got here, Pastor and I were sitting and we were talking, and he said, what is the Spirit saying through you now to the church? I said, I thought that was amazing, because about 6 weeks ago, it came to me that it is time for us to pursue what happened on the day of Pentecost. It is time to put weak living aside. It is time for us to pursue the Spirit. Now understand, it is not us doing it. It is us so pursuing Him, so inviting a radical filling of His Spirit, the new wine, the oil of the Spirit, the transformation, the very person of Christ to come inside of us so that our very nature is changed. And when people see us, they are moved by what is happening in us. Sinners can be convinced just by us walking down a grocery aisle. I don't know what this is. Who are you? If something, I walked by you and something happened. I walked by you and this bone in my body snapped. I was healed. That is not impossible. That is what is possible with those that will welcome him and say, Jesus, I have to have you. If you would study, take time to study the healing ministries that have gone on in our nation in, let's say, the last 75 or 80 years. If you would study each one of those ministers that were used by the Holy Spirit, you would find that there was a time that they turned from the normal. They turned from the normal. They made a conscious decision. I cannot live that way anymore. There is more. And they turned to seek him. He said, in the day that you seek me with all of your heart, that's the day that I will be found. What is sad among Christianity, what is sad even among those that call themselves spirit-filled, is this watered-down, diluted thing. And I'm not advocating craziness for the sake of craziness. What I am advocating is that we take hold of this thing so that a love comes out of us that we have never experienced before. A love for our fellow man. A forgiving spirit. A powerful spirit. A praying spirit. A person who the love, the joy, and the peace is seen. Long-suffering and gentleness and goodness is given to others. And faith, meekness, and temperance is given to him. That very spirit is in this room today. He is here right now. And he can come into your heart where you are. We don't have to wait until an invitation. You can say, now, Jesus, I must have you. Come on. He is looking for people to break the bonds of normality. He is looking for people to say, I'm not doing this anymore. I am turning to you, Lord, with all of my heart. Take me, shake me, shake me. Do something to me. Do something in me, Lord. Many of us have tried. I was raised in a very strict environment. And at the time, we just, this is not necessary and that's not necessary. But we never stopped to ask why. You see, we do some things in the beginning because it does something to us and for us. But then the next generation comes along. They don't understand. All they see is the rules. They don't see why the rules were put there. Come on. In the beginning, some of the rules were adapted not to try to impose that on anyone else, but to open us up to say, God, I'm through with the world. I understand you're in 21 days of fasting now, and everybody is giving up something that will make you feel like you're drawing closer to God. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw near to you. Come on. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What he wants is for us. We're a three-stringed instrument, spirit, soul, and body. He comes into my spirit, but he wants my soul and he wants my body as well. And if we will let him, he'll tune that until he will play heaven's symphonies on our lives and through our lives. People will not even recognize you anymore. Is that the same guy? I don't know if there's any. Is there anyone remotely hungry for what I'm talking about today? Come on. There has to be, every I started to mention about the those men used in miracles and things. Every one of them, they waited upon God. There's three important things that happen when you're on a quest for the Spirit. One is learn to pause. Now, I'll just be honest with you that I am trying to relearn patience. Jesus, help me. I thought as I got older I would be better, but I'm more like myself, naturally speaking. Patience. Good God, what are we waiting on? I was in a store the other day and I thought I needed something. The line was long and they were just fumbling. The cashier was fumbling. And the people in the line were just like they were on vacation. I just placed my item aside and went on my way with rejoicing. I realized I didn't need it as bad as I thought. Come on. You can tell that I like to eat, but there have been times I've been very hungry, but the line was too long. Convenience store down the way has got some bologna that I can eat and be on my way. Glory to God. It may not be high cuisine, but it will do what it needs to do. But there is a significant power in pausing. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. Sight will be given to you that you didn't have before. Mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. Strength for the journey. And they shall walk and they will not faint. That's because they paused in his presence. The church in California that's experiencing unprecedented miracles, signs, and wonders in there. The pastor would just said he just comes in at times into the prayer area and just kneels before the Lord, not to tell him about any needs of any kind, but just to pause in his presence. Cancers are being sent on their way. Blind eyes are being opened. Cripples are walking. Signs and wonders. They started to feed a bunch of poor people and they realized they were out of meat. They went to prayer, went back to the oven, and there was more brisket in there. Holy Ghost brisket. Now, I've never had any of that. I don't know if he took the fat out or what, but anyway. Pausing is a powerful thing. I'm going to tell you, I received the baptism in 1965. And we thought we knew it. We had it, and you need it. But the longer I've walked with him, I thought, Craig, you are getting more stupid by the day. This morning while I was looking into his word, I thought, I saw one verse in Corinthians. I thought, how have I missed that? I know all things. Point is, as when I come before him, I have to say, Jesus, I'm sorry. I don't know how to go out. And I sure don't know how to come in. But you love me. And I'm asking you to just take me where I need to go. And he will. Sometime we get together with our intelligent prayers and everything is written out, you know. And we do that from here up. And here is not involved. But when you pray it from here, two words, one of the greatest prayer warriors, you need to read his story, praying Hyde. Someone came in to pray with him, and they said for the first 30 minutes, the only two words he said was, oh God. But he said there was such a presence in that room that shook the people that he was ministering to. It's more than me. Okay, it's pausing. It's praise. Praise is powerful. Praise. Unlock jail doors. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. The jailhouse rocked, and Elvis wasn't there. But then Peter was in jail, and the church did the third thing. They petitioned God. They petitioned the Holy Spirit. And the angel of the Lord came walking through the walls of that prison and tapped Peter on the side, smote him on the side, get up. When he got up, the chains fell off of him, and the angel led him right through the gates that were not unlocked, but he moved him through there. God is wanting to do this, and I'm tired of saying he is about to do it. I am standing on a place to say, no more about now. Now, I have to have it now. I can't wait another month. I can't wait another year. Our world is in such need of a manifestation of the sons of God. Your neighborhood is waiting on the manifestation of you, the son of God, the child of God. We've spent so much time trying to relate to the world. You heal their body, they'll relate. Come on. You pray for them and they're delivered from every addiction, they'll relate. Come on. You look like Popeye and they'll follow you to church. Come on. We're trying to slide around, you know, get with them and they're going to come to Jesus. Bullhorn. That Holy Ghost cussing, okay? Baloney. They're not going to follow that. Oh, they may come around, but they'll be slipping and sliding just like you. Come on. But when you make a determined stand and say, no more of this. Yes, I'm going to be kind. Yes, I'm going to relate as much as I can. But I'm out here. I'm for the Holy Ghost. I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And today is the best day that I know anything about it. You'll walk out of here and you'll start testifying to the devils. You'll start testifying to your world that there is now a change that has happened to me. Old things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. I'll tell you three ways that you can receive. Number one is recognize that it's for you. And that's what I've spent up until this time trying to tell you. It's for you. Recognize that it's for you. Jesus said in Revelation 3:20, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone... doesn't matter what you've done. Can I tell you just, have you got a minute longer? Can you hold the pangs back? Paul said this. He said, this is my translation. You know why God saved me? Because Paul was a pretty bad guy. He took Christians to execution. He gave testimony against them. You might could liken that to the Christians nowadays living in a strong Muslim, Islamic, ISIS-controlled country. Give testimony against them. But God came to him, saved him, filled him, changed him. And he said, this is one of the reasons why God saved me, so that the world would know how deep God would reach, how far God would reach. Come on. There is no sin in this room. There is no practice in this room that God cannot wipe clean, fix it. The man that I told you the Lord saved, he had been a pimp pusher. There was a young man came to his church who had escaped from prisons. Came to his church in Little Rock, Arkansas, had escaped from prison in North Carolina. Manhunt was on. Thief, robber, everything. He came to church, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Came, the pastor said, here's what I've done. Pastor said, okay, you know what we got to do? Yep, I'm ready. I'm ready. What? Ready to go back to prison? Yeah, because the prison breaker, the chain breaker is on the inside of me now. Pastor drove him back to North Carolina, showed up at the prison gate, walked joyfully through the gates. In just a few weeks, they pardoned him. Boom, he's gone. He's out of there. I'm not saying that happens for everybody, but I'm telling you one thing, it'll change the atmosphere on the inside of those walls. So I have to repent. I have to recognize it is for me. I have to repent. I have to repent. What is repentance? Acts 3:19. Repent then, Jesus said, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. His baptism will come in when I show him. Listen, repentance. He said, well, I got a lot to repent over. Repentance is a change of mind. Repent. I've seen too many people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, that repented more after they'd received him than they did before, because they couldn't even recognize all the junk that they had done. But the mere fact of going this way and then hearing the message and turning and coming, that's repentance. Jesus, I want you. Jesus, I follow you. What did the thief on the cross say? Hey, help me. Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. He didn't have time to get on his knees. Couldn't if he'd wanted to. Repentance has to happen. And the third thing is this. I have to receive. Psalm 81:10 said, I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Here we go. You know, each of us have questioned God's way. Why do you require this for this other? And I've often thought, you know, when he told Abraham, the sign of the covenant, the thing you've got to do to be in covenant with me is all the males to be circumcised. Grown men. Not no defenseless baby. And you know what I say to that? Ouch! Why are you going to do that to me, Lord? It's not proper for me to go into the organic reasons for all of that, okay? But then he comes over here and he says that you will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. I mean, Lord, I can wiggle my ears. Why didn't you choose that? Bam, I'm filled. No. I'll tell you at least one of the reasons. You have to read the book of James and see that whole operations of your life can be changed by the tongue. Ships are turned by a small rudder. A horse is turned by a relatively small bit in his mouth. Words, this whole world we're on was created by words. Words were given not just so we could tell jokes. Words were given for creation. Words were given for positive change. So, why wouldn't he choose words? I speak with tongues as the Spirit. The creation Spirit comes inside of me. And as it does, I open my mouth and I speak with tongues of men and of angels. And you say, well, I don't know. What will it sound like? Don't worry. Don't worry what it sounds like. I have heard some strange languages in this world. Go to the Chinese restaurant. What are y'all saying? Our favorite one at home, the girl is definitely Chinese, that the head of the restaurant. But there was another girl that was down there, and she was obviously Hispanic. And I said, "Are you from Hong Kong?" She said, "No, I'm just from right here." There would be a speaking in tongues. You wonder what, where's, give vent to that. Speak by faith and believe. In Acts the 2nd chapter, when they began to speak with tongues, there were at least 17 different foreign nations there that heard these native locals speaking in their language. What were they saying? They were testifying about the wonderful works of God. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.